Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Peter. And that's chapter 3 in your Scofield Bible, page 1320, 1320. Beginning with verse 13, we'll read through the end of the chapter, the text verse being that last verse, verse 18. We'll read the verses responsively. As we always do, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful thing is our privilege being a part of this great church. Thank You for the thrill of it, the blessing of it, but also for the responsibility of it. Help us each to be aware of the kind of testimony we ought to bear for the good name of this church, but especially that the name of Christ might be exalted in each of our lives. Thank You for Your Word and for its preaching, and thank You for a faithful preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wish every pastor could stay 41 years at the same church and see a generation, more than one generation, grow up. I may not be accurate. I think I'm pretty close to it. Mark, were you born if your folks were here? Yeah, how old were you when you came here? 13 years old. The other three fellows, I've been their pastor all their lives. And Mark, since he was 13, and my heart is warm when I realize, as I watch a generation grow up, I wish I were 40 years old again. I would commit suicide, knowing what I'd have to go through again. But I thank God for our church, for our church family, for these who've been our products of our ministry here. I want to speak this morning from 2 Peter. Our text is, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. I almost entitled this message, Unnecessary Frustration. But I want to help. You know, one of the great differences in this church and many other fundamental churches is we don't require you to be perfect. We want you simply to do what the Scripture says, grow. That's all. Grow. I want to talk to you this morning, and I hope you'll listen to me as I speak to you from my heart. You don't have to be perfect. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak today. If you don't bless me, I can't be a blessing to these whom I love with all my heart. Make me a conduit today of spiritual blessing and encouragement to these dear people today, from the smallest little child to the oldest senior saint, from the one that rode the old rickety bus to one who came in a nice supermodel car, from the one who bought his clothes at the designer's place, to the one who went to the Goodwill, got some hand-me-downs. to the one who could write a check and transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to those who don't even have a bank account. I pray you make me a blessing to those who live in beautiful homes and to those who slept on the streets this week. Over 70 of our people, street people here this morning. Do thou help me to help these. Amen. We're commanded in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow. We're not commanded to grow up. We're just commanded to grow. We're not told how fast to grow. We're just told to grow. We're not told how much to grow. We're just told to grow. We're not told to grow as much as someone else grows. We're just told to grow. We're not given a rate of growth. We're just told to grow. Herein lies the problems of many of our frustrations. I want to call to your attention maybe three or four of these causes for our frustrations. And I'd like to set some of you frustrated people at ease this morning and give you encouragement. Our frustrations are caused, first, by failure oftentimes to meet others' expectations. Now, God never told you to become what I want you to become. He told you to grow. It's not my job to tell you today how much I want you to grow. And somebody said, Brother House, what is your dream for me? One dream, that you'll grow, that's all, that you'll grow. Sometimes a parent's expectation for a child causes frustrations in the child. Forgive me for using this personal illustration, but our oldest daughter, Becky, became an accomplished pianist and was very talented at the piano. Linda became also a very accomplished pianist, and Cindy came along. Cindy came along with two left hands and 10 thumbs instead of fingers on her hands. She couldn't even play the pedals below the piano, much less the black and white doojiggers on the top of the piano. And Cindy was the kind that when she came home, she never brought everything she took. She always left something, her shoes or her skirt or something, you know, she'd leave. And I sensed that Cindy was living in the shadows of two talented sisters. And one day, and several days, but one day especially, I had a talk with Cindy. And I said, Puddin', I just want you to be Cindy. We have a Becky. We don't need another one. We have a Linda. We don't need another one. We need a Cindy. That's what we need. And then I said to her, when she's a little child, we used to practice kissing. It's a wonderful thing, if you're not a Hiles Anderson student. But I used to get on my hands and knees like this and close my eyes like this and crawl and pucker and crawl across the room on my hands and knees. And Cindy would get on the other side of the room, and she'd get on her hands and knees, and she'd close her eyes and pucker. And we'd crawl toward each other with puckered lips and closed eyes. Or was that puckered eyes and closed lips? I've forgotten which one. And we'd crawl across and see how near we could come to kissing each other. And, we've kissed all over. I mean, trying to see how close our lips could come to each other. And then I would say to Cindy, you know what we are? We are... what are we? And she'd say, buddies. That's what we are. She couldn't play the piano, but she could be a buddy. And she lived in the shadows of her sisters for a while, but she could be daddy's buddy. And I said to her, I'm not expecting anything out of you. You just be Cindy. And that's what God is saying about you. God doesn't expect you rescue mission men to pastor a great church someday. He expects you to grow. God doesn't expect you public school students to be all today that these young folks are that have grown up in First Baptist Church. He just expects you to grow. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just expects you to grow. And so Cindy became very special to me. And now, what has she done? That little girl who lived in the shadows of her more talented sisters, that little girl now has written several books. And that little girl teaches college at Hiles Anderson College. And that little girl is the wife of the vice president of Hiles Anderson College. And that little girl is a speaker that has traveled across the country oftentimes. She doesn't anymore because she wants to be a better wife to her husband. But she's spoken all across the country. See, that's what I'm trying to say. If I had said to her, this is what I want you to be, parents, just ask your children to grow in grace. That's all. That's all God said. He says, grow in grace. Didn't say how much to grow. Didn't say where to, how big to grow. How long to grow. He just said, grow. Show me some growth. Show me some improvement. It was several years ago. 5 years ago. On my birthday. My buddy wrote this poem to me, to my dad, on his 70th birthday, September 25th, 1996. We'll always be buddies, my daddy would say. When as a small girl, I would run out to play. We'll always be buddies, and buddies will stay. We'll always be buddies, he'd say in my youth, though oft I rebelled and my words were uncouth. He showed me he loved me, even when I did stray. We'll always be buddies, and buddies will stay. He called me his buddy in ministry's prime. He always had love, and he always had time. I thought he'd be busy, I'd be in the way. We'd always be buddies, and buddies we stayed. And still we were buddies the day I was wed. He looked at me in my white gown, and he said, I'm proud of you, Puddin', more than I could say. In buddy-like fashion, he gave me away. And I remained buddies as babies did come, with Daddy so wise and Grandpa so fun. I reared my own children like he had reared me. I'm buddy to them, and they're buddies to me. Still yet we were buddies when dark days arrived, when once we rejoiced, but now we tried to survive. I fell on my knees to the Lord, I did vow. We've always been buddies, and we'll stay buddies now. The days grew more bright, and the Lord did more bless. So proud of my buddy, he'd passed every test. I thought I had loved him as much as could be, but tears made more love for my buddy and me. Now days pass so swiftly, it's fall in my life, and winter begins for my buddy and wife. But pride does not waver, my love is not cold, for buddies stay young even when they grow old. Because of my hope and my prayers that I've said, I'm sure that the best days for my dad lie ahead. I'm here to encourage each step of the way. We have always been buddies, and buddies will stay. That's from our little black sheep. That's from our little girl that I used to call all the girls Puddin'. Puddin' 1, Puddin' 2, Puddin' 3. I called Cindy Chocolate Puddin' because she was the black sheep. But wait a minute. I expected her to be Cindy. And look what she's become. I'm talking to folks today who are frustrated because you have not met the expectations of other people. Let me tell you, you got a preacher today that doesn't expect you to do anything but one thing, and that is grow. That's all. I just ask you to improve. I just ask you to be a little better tomorrow than you were today, and a little better next year than you were this year. God says, grow in grace. Don't be frustrated because you don't meet somebody's expectations. You know, I'm not expecting all you young men to be preacher boys. I'd like for two or three of you to be deacons. I'm not expecting that. I have no dreams of what you become. I just have dreams that you'll grow. That's all. Our Savior said, grow in grace. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect. And that is in the future perfect tense. Be ye therefore on your way to becoming perfect. That's what he said. God didn't say, get perfect. God said, be on your way to perfection. Be growing, if you would please, toward maturity and toward spiritual maturity. God says, just be growing. That's all that I ask. Number two. Not only are there frustrations because we fail to meet somebody else's expectations, but we also have frustrations because we fail sometimes to meet our own expectations. Now, look, just grow. Don't have a bunch of ideas about what you're going to do and be someday that you may never can arrive. Just today, just grow in grace today. My sister, Earlene here this morning? There she is. She's been sick and God's been punishing her and judging her. But she had twins. I'll never forget the day they were born. Earlene almost died, and my mother was praying she'd live, and I had other thoughts. But she did. She almost died. And mother had heard about one of these high-powered evangelists that would pray for you if you were sick. And my mama, you know, when you get that way, you'll call anybody. You'll even call Oral Roberts when you get in that kind of trouble, and maybe even Jimmy Swaggart. But anyway, my sister, Earlene was dying, living twins. And mother rushed to the phone. She thought she dialed this evangelist that pray for her, and there's an answer, hello. She said, please, pray for my daughter. She's having twins. And they said, okay, this is the home furniture company. But one was named Athy Lou. My dad's name was Athy Lou. And one was named Margaret Sue. Now, Athy Lou was always the popular, extrovert, outgoing, bubbly one. Margaret Sue, whom you've seen visit here many times, Margaret Sue was, as a teenage girl, was always the quiet one. She lived in the shadows of Athy Lou. In fact, I think she's about 17 years of age, senior in high school, she lost her voice. She could only speak in a whisper, like you wish I could. And she could only speak in a whisper. And all doctors tested her, and they came to one conclusion. It was caused because she felt like she could not measure up to a sister. For one whole year, she could not speak except in a whisper. And the doctors said, as soon as she gets out from under the shadow of Athy Lou, she'll be able to speak again. Now, what was the problem? Margaret Sue could not live up to her own expectations. And she was frustrated. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, God in heaven, and I don't expect you to grow up today. If you mission men would just grow some, and if you public school students would just grow some, and if you bus kids would just grow some, God says, I just want you to be a little better. I want you to grow. And so don't get frustrated because you can't live up to your own expectations. I said, I had a talk with Margaret Sue when she was 17. And I said, Margaret, we don't need two Athy Lou's. We need an Athy Lou and a Margaret Sue. And you have something to give that Athy Lou doesn't have to give. Don't expect yourself to be an Athy Lou. Brother Scott, don't expect yourself to be a Jack Hiles. You'll never measure up to me. Or you won't measure up to him. You won't even measure up to him. But don't expect it. I mean, just be the best you can and grow in the knowledge of our Savior and grow in your Bible study and grow in your soul winning and grow in your prayer life and grow in your walk with God and just be satisfied with the growth that you have and you're doing your best. That's all you can be expected to do. God said, be on your way to spiritual maturity. God's expectations are simply grow in grace. Number three, people are frustrated, number one, because they do not meet the expectations of others, and two, because they do not meet their own expectations, and three, they're frustrated because of their failure to others' rate or level of growth or areas of growth. Now let me use Ms. Colston, for an example. That lady right there can carry more load than any woman I've ever met in my life. She weighs 185 pounds. She can carry a lot of load. She's church organist. She's music coordinator. She's the one who's in charge of choosing and helping all these special numbers other than the choir, and she's organist for the choir. She teaches at Howells Anderson College. She's superintendent of high school two Sunday school department. She's my proofreader that proofreads all the books that I write and other things we have here at the church that need proofreading. She's in charge of all the wedding rehearsals. Now, behind me is a beautiful blonde that I call my wife. My wife would be frustrated if she did all Lynn Colston does. In fact, my wife can look at Lynn Colston and get frustrated. Have you ever got a good look at Lynn Colston? My wife, if she said, I look at all she does. Now, my wife doesn't do all that. My wife gets up at 11 o'clock in the morning, takes an afternoon nap, and goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night. But now, wait a minute. You ask this little lady right here. Be as tough as she's been. And she'll wonder why she can't be a Beverly Hills. You put her through all this woman's been through. I don't know a tougher person. She doesn't look very tough. You ought to live with her. She doesn't look very tough. But she's been through more than most any woman I know in the world. And yet, firm and stayed and loyal and faithful. We don't need two Elaine Colsons. Good night. That ruined this church. Dr. Bob Jones used to say about Dr. Rice. I heard it many times. But Brother Beebe used to do like that when he'd preach, you know. And he'd say, thank God for John R. Rice. He called him John R. Thank God for John R. Rice. Thank God for John R. Rice. Thank God we have one. Thank God we don't have two, but thank God we have one. He'd say, what if we had two people around this country telling everybody what's wrong with them? But thank God we had one. But ladies and gentlemen, I could not be a John Rice, but I can grow, and you may not can be an Elaine Colston, but you can grow. And you teachers at the college, let's take Brother Sprunger. Brother Sprunger came to me. He won't mind me saying this. If he does, it doesn't matter because I pay his salary. But he came to me and he said, Brother Howes, my classes are not as big as Jack Scopp. Jack Scopp, one of the best Bible teachers in America, no doubt about that. Brother Lorentz's classes, he's on the front row here, they're not as big as Jack Scopp. Sometimes you'll have 300 or 400 students in a class. Rent, his wife comes, that's all. But he may have a class with maybe, 25 or 30? Scopp will teach 400 while Lorentz teaches 25 or 30. But God doesn't say to Lorentz, you be a Scopp. And God doesn't say to Scopp, you be a Lorentz. We need a Jack Scopp at Howells Henderson College with all of his talent and ability, but we need a good, solid man who's a legend at Howells Henderson College. Why? Because he's not tried to be anything else but to grow. That's all, just to grow. This morning I'm looking at a lot of people here in this room. You're frustrated because you don't measure up to what some people think you ought to be. Or you don't measure up to what you think you ought to be. Or you don't measure up to the rate or progress of growth of other people. When the truth is, God simply asks you to grow. If I were to resign tonight and say God has chosen our success, my successor. I'm telling you who I want you to call as pastor. I want you to call Johnny Colston as pastor. We would bury Johnny Colston tomorrow. The only load he can carry is under his belt buckle. I mean, he's Johnny Colston is not a Jack Hiles. But by the way, you put me beside the bed of a dear saint that's about to cross over. And you put Johnny Colston on the other side of the bed. And I'll promise you I'll feel like an amateur. Because here is a man who in his own field has reached the top of his field. And here is a man who's reached the top of his field. And where is Depper? Depper has reached the bottom of his field. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be perfect. All God asks you to do is grow. Now, by the way, some of you folks have grown and grown and grown, and you're at a certain level now, and you just might be the best Christian in this church, but you also may be the worst Christian because you're not growing still. God commands you people who've been saved 20, 30, 40 years to keep on growing. God commands me to keep on growing. It's my job to grow. He didn't tell me how fast to grow, how much to grow, how big to become. He simply said, grow. That's all God wants, and that'll satisfy God if you grow. When I was a boy, and this is old hat to you, but I was introvert. I didn't grow very rapidly. I see some of these little junior high boys singing in the choir. They're about that tall, look like they ought to be taken care of in the nursery. That was me. I weighed 92 pounds on my 17th birthday. Today I weigh more than 92 pounds, but I was in a restaurant the other day, and Ms. Howes and I, we love it when they don't give the senior citizen discount. We love it. No, I was over at a health food store. I walked in, I got my stuff, and they give discounts to senior citizens. And she said, "How old are you?" And I said, "How much do you weigh?" I did not get my senior citizen discount. My dad, as you know, my dad was the neighborhood drunk. We lived in poverty. Bob Keyes, my good friend who lived two blocks away, lived in a middle-class home. His dad had a good job. They owned their own home. Bob's dad was in church and sang in the choir every Sunday. My dad come in drunk the night before. Leroy Howard's dad would walk to church by our house every day, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, with his Bible tucked under his arm, and my dad being sleeping off a drunk, or maybe wouldn't be at home at all. I looked at George and Bob Lovell's nice home. They were two of my buddies. And they had a nice home, and their dad had a good job, and my dad was the neighborhood drunk. I could not tell you. I wished I could be what they are. And one day, one of my great heroes knocked on my door. The name Proctor Boyd to me is way up there, close to John Rice and J.C. Sizemore. Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher, is a 17-year-old lad. He made a special trip to see me. He came in our little hovel of a place, a wood stove over here, stuffing coming out of the chairs we'd gotten from somebody else. Proctor Boyd said, "Jack, I want to talk to you for a while." I had no self-confidence. I had no self-esteem. I cried during Sunday school in church, and sometimes when mother would take me out of church, I'd ruin the service crying because of frustration. And Proctor Boyd sat down and he said, "You're Jack Hiles. I don't expect you to be a Bob Keyes. I don't expect you to be a Leroy Howard. I don't expect you to be a Bob Lovell or a George Lovell." He said, "I just expect you to be in a race with yourself to become a better Jack Hiles." He said, "We need Jack Hiles." That changed my life. I'd love to change yours the same way this morning. I'd love to come this morning and say, don't be frustrated because you can't measure up to what somebody wants you to be. And don't be frustrated because you can't measure up to your own expectations. And don't look at others and say, "Why can't I do that? Why can't I be like that?" God looks down and says, "I don't want you to be like anybody else. I just want you to grow. Just to grow." Mission men, I said a while ago, I just want you to grow. Public school students, you won't go to a school that has prayer in class tomorrow. You won't go to a school that has chapel tomorrow. You'd like to, but you won't. Brother Howes doesn't expect you to be anything except a little better than you were. Just grow. Be on your way to perfection. Be therefore, be becoming perfect. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have only one plan for all of you, and that is that you grow. I have only one dream for you, and that is that you grow. I have only one desire for you, and that is that you grow. New convert, babe in Christ, that's all I ask. I say this often. The best Christian in this room may be the worst Christian in this room. The best Christian here may smoke cigarettes, because he may have been back here on dope a few months ago. He may have been a vegetable. He may have stumbled to a rescue mission. He may still have a tough time smoking a cigarette. It's not how high you are. It's how far you've come. And I say to you this morning, as your preacher, I'm not asking every lady in this church to quit wearing her pants today or quit smoking today. I'm not asking every young person to quit listening to music you shouldn't listen to today. All I ask you to do is just grow. Just grow. Brother Owens has a Sunday school class. I recall when I first asked him to take that class, it looked like if you'd go over to that class That's the motliest looking bunch of people you ever saw in your life. Because they were babes in Christ. He had men that stumble over their hair as they walked out. And trip over their earring as it was falling down. But I wouldn't want a church that didn't have that. I mean, if you're going to have babies, you're going to have handprints on the walls. You're going to have some dirty diapers. You're going to have some unkempt rooms. You're going to have a bathroom that's not what it ought to be. And ladies and gentlemen, don't you sit up with your pharisaical look on your face and wrap your phylacteries around you and say, boy, look what came to our church. Let me tell you, just grow. That's all. Just grow. That's all we ask. You can't be the wife someone else is. Just be a better wife. That's all. You can't be the husband someone else is. Just be a little better husband. I carry in my pocket what I've showed you before. I carry it always in my pocket. I've got this up through yesterday. No, I got through today. Every day of the year, January, a number for every day of the year. It's up through December the 17th. Every day, actually I thought I've got my day ahead of time here. Today is 17th. This is my record of what kind of husband I am. Every day when the day is over, I ask myself, was I the kind of husband my wife needs today? And I write the date down there. If I come to the end of the day and I'll say to myself, I don't think I was as good a husband as she needed today, I put a circle around that. Every day that I feel like I did not measure up, I put a circle around that. 2 years ago, I had 17 days circled. She keeps the same record of what kind of husband I am. She had 17 that weren't circled. But last year, I improved to 13. I only had 13 circled. I hold today, this year's record. I only have 9. There are 9 days this year when I felt like I was not the kind of husband I ought to be, and I have a circle around that. It's December 17th. There are 14 days left in this month. On the 27th, I'm going to be a Hellcat. I've been saving up. I've been saving up. These 4 days, boy, I'd suggest you get out of town on the 27th. But that's all. I want to beat last year. So I'm going to beat last year. So I'm only going to be bad 3 more days this year. But I keep it in my pocket all the time. You see, I wish I could be a Spurgeon, but that's not my goal. I just want to be a better pastor for you than I was. I wish I could give you all that others could have given you through the years. But I can't be a Spurgeon or an R.G. Lee. That's not me. But God knows I want you to have a better pastor next year than you had this year. And I want to be a better preacher to you next year than I was this year. I have no dreams of being like anybody else, though I have heroes, and Dr. Robertson, of course, is my great number one living hero, and others I've had through the years, but I can't be them. But I just I want to be a better preacher. I want to grow. You can't be the Sunday school teacher some others are, but you can grow. You can't be the parent that some others are, but you can grow. You can't be the student in school. I never was a straight A student. But you can be a better student than you were. You can grow. You can't be the worker somebody else is, or maybe the Christian somebody else is, but you can grow, and that's all God wants you to do. So quit being frustrated, and ladies, quit looking at somebody else and, oh, why can't I be like that? You don't have to be like that. Our Heavenly Father just says, just grow. Didn't say how much, how fast, just grow. In closing, you love those two words, don't you? In closing. Let me give you the meaning of the word grow. Listen carefully. This is the meaning of the word grow. The increase of something that lives. The increase of something that lives. Now, some of you cannot grow because you're not alive. You've got to be alive. You can't grow in grace until you've accepted God's grace of His gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I do not speak to you who've never trusted Christ and say, grow. You can't grow. Growth is the increase of something that's alive. You don't grow to become a Christian. You become a Christian so you can grow. And so this morning, if you're here, you've never trusted Christ, you can become a new creature today and begin that growth toward maturity that's spoken of in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. You can begin that growth. And so this morning, in this Christmas season, why don't you make Christmas valid? Why don't you make the birth of Christ valid? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. That's what it's all about. And it's folly for a heathen pagan world to celebrate a day when they haven't even accepted the one about whom the day is all about. So in a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. You've looked forward to becoming a Christian for a long time. You've thought about it. Someday you're going to do it. You said to yourself, yes, there's a day. Someday I'm going to be, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And someday I'm going to do it. Okay, the day has come. This is it. When we stand and sing after a while, leave your seat. Walk toward the aisle of the nearest set of stairs and come down the aisle. And every aisle, there'll be one of our staff members waiting to show you exactly how you can go to heaven when you die. And then you can start growing. And then I turn again to the original purpose. Don't try to be what somebody else expects you to be. And don't set a bunch of expectations for yourself that'll cause you to end up in futility, discouragement, and frustration. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. He just asks you to grow. To grow. That's my goal in life, is just to grow. When 2001 comes, when 1900 and 2001 comes, I'll have one New Year's resolution. I just want to be better in everything than I was last year. So our Savior comes this morning and He says, mission man, just grow. You don't have to become what somebody else is. Just grow. Bus kids. You can't become overnight what somebody is that's been in the church since they were born, in infants in the nursery and beginners and primaries. You can't do it. But you can grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all He asks. And that's all I ask. Would you bow your heads, please?